He is tonight. He didn't even make the trip. We'll ask our next guest, Elliot Friedman. Our weekly visit brought to you by Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view is better from here. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing okay. How are the Sharks doing? Are they? Does it feel like they're running out of gas, or do we feel like we're in the exact same position with the Sharks that we've been for multiple series and multiple games?
Yeah, you know, I've had so many people today, Walker, say to me, I like the Blues like 7-0 today.
It's a lot.
And I'm like, how can anybody say that? I mean, if we've learned anything in this playoffs is that weird stuff happens, and weird stuff happens a lot. Like, I think the Blues are the betting favorites, and they deserve to be the betting favorites, but even San Jose has lived kind of a charmed life up until now. I understand the injuries. I understand the concerns and all that. Unfortunately, you know, the way it was going for Carlson, it was hurting them as much as it was helping them because he couldn't get up and down the ice. So, I don't know. I like to bet. I like to gamble as much as anyone else. But anybody who says they have any idea of what's going to happen, they're lying to you and they're lying to themselves.
Yeah, they looked like they were on death's doorstep in the first round, and then Martin Jones pulled off some of the greatest goaltending we've seen from him. So it's very possible that he steals them a game tonight, even if they're not at 100% with what they've got in the lineup. I am curious to know what people around that organization are saying about the future of some of the big guns on that team. And hey, we know Thornton's year to year, but what about the likes of Pavelski, Erik Karlsson? What's the current thinking around those players if this were to end?
Well, I mean, like, I think with Carlson, I've been told they haven't given up hope of keeping him. I think the biggest issue with Carlson is term. And, you know, I think this whole situation, he's had an injury since, what, December? He took time off. It came back. I'm sure that's all going to be part of the equation. This is a guy who's had some pretty traumatic leg, ankle, foot, groin, whatever they are, injuries the last 2 or 3 years, and that's going to be a factor. So I think term is going to be the issue with Carlson. I'll tell you this. I think a year ago he thought he was going to Dallas. I've said this before that I think last year in the summer there was something going on between the Stars and the Senators that fell apart that would have had Carlson go to Dallas. And it fell apart and he ended up in San Jose. I don't know. I mean, you look at the Stars now. They've got Klingberg. They just signed Lindell, who's a hell of a player. They've got Haskinen, who's a hell of a player. I don't know if they would see that as still necessary. So I think that the teams that I think have kind of been around there, the Rangers, I don't know if you guys are interested now, but I know you have been in the past. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, Tampa and Carlson see if they can make a run at this somehow. So I think that's kind of where we are. But again, I think the biggest question is going to be term, because his body has been through a lot. Pavelski, that has been a weirdly quiet story all year. The guy had a great season. He's a 30-goal scorer. He's playing injured. He got hurt again the other night. I think he's going to play tonight, but he's far from 100% like most players. The really interesting thing about the Sharks is that, you know, a lot of their guys, they've re-signed well before they get to free agency. They actually did the last time with Pavelski. Look, Logan Couture got signed a year before, was a free agent. Brent Burns a year before. Vlasic a year before. Jones a year before. They don't let those guys go to free agency. Now, I think the thing with Pavelski is he's a little bit older. And I think what's happening there is that, again, term is the issue. If you look what happened between them and Patrick Marleau, it was overturned. They didn't want to go to the third year that Toronto gave them. So that's kind of where we are. I think in both guys' cases, term is going to be the question, and what are the Sharks comfortable doing and what do those guys want? And I think that's where it stands.
He is Elliot Friedman, 31 Thoughts, and CBC's Hockey Night in Canada, of course, in the NHL and Sportsnet. Joining us here in the program, Andrew Walker, Scott Rintoul. Now that Boston is home and cooled, what have we learned, if anything, and maybe there's so much to learn you can't put your finger on it, on team building as it relates to the Bruins? Because I can't think of another organization that has had so much success, but also so many stories where they, like, GM or executive this, you know, screwed up this situation by trading a guy they shouldn't have traded or drafting a guy they shouldn't have drafted, and yet here they still are. It's almost like they're immune to their own mistakes sometimes.
Well, it is amazing. You look at the Joe Thornton deal, they won the Stanley Cup, and that was a deal that worked out great for San Jose. You look at the Tyler Seguin deal, and they have a chance to win another Stanley Cup. And, you know, both of those guys could still be Boston Bruins. I mean, you look at Thornton's career, it's pretty amazing. You know, I think what that says is I think they're a really smart organization. They find players. But I think, you know what, they also have really dedicated players. Like, you know, Rask has had an unbelievable postseason. He's a dedicated guy. Chara, I mean, we all know he's a dedicated guy. Bergeron, dedicated guy. I know Vancouver, it's not popular to say anything nice about Brad Marchand, but he's a guy who has been dedicated to making himself better. And I think that runs through the organization. And they find players. You know, you take a look at Connor Clifton. They took a chance on him where the rest of the NHL didn't. They find guys. They develop guys. They're a really smart organization. And once you get there, you've got a group that demands perfection of you and of itself, or as close to what you can get. And the thing that impresses me the most about them is they never panic. They just never panic. They never panic against the Leafs. And I'm sure the Toronto players watching this are just kicking themselves because they should have won that series, but they didn't. They never panicked against Columbus in what was a tough series. And they sure didn't panic against Carolina. They didn't have to. And, you know, I just think that it's an organization with great culture. They demand a lot of themselves. They demand a lot of each other. And they find players. And I think when you have all that, you know, you have a chance to go far.
The culture discussion is an interesting one to me. It fascinates me every single year because every team says the exact same thing, but not every team is able to establish a positive culture like the one you're talking about in Boston. I saw a great clip from Zdeno Chara talking about rookies and how there's no class system. Why should a guy who's 35 years old be treated any differently than a 22-year-old? He said, "I've always hated that in hockey, and that's not what we have here." Why do some organizations struggle to develop culture, Elliot?
Well, I think the thing is, like, do you have guys who want to win? Like, everybody says they want to win, Scott. Like the thing is, Scott, like this is not a discussion just for hockey teams. This isn't, it doesn't just transcend sports. It's in our jobs too. Like, is everybody pulling in the same direction, or are there people there that, you know, I'm more important than the group? And, you know, everybody listening to this has dealt with this in their offices, in their lives. You've got people around you who are great team players, and you've got people around you who aren't. And, okay, so if somebody's not a team player, is the rest of the group strong enough to police that, or is somebody at the top strong enough to police that? You know, we've all worked with people who the most important thing that they do is say, I'm not going to be found at fault for anything. It's always someone else's fault. And we've all worked with people who take the blame for things and we're like, shut the hell up. You're not responsible for that, but we understand what you're doing. Okay. I just think it's like that in every office in the world. Do you have a group that says that strong enough, are your leaders strong enough to say that if the tide rises, we all rise? And I think Boston's like that. And, you know, you look at Chara and those quotes, and I saw those quotes too, and they were really good. Look, he missed a game the other night. They were pretty good. And they were pretty good with a guy, Connor Clifton, who was drafted and then not signed to a contract by Arizona, and anyone could have had him. You know, you take a look at, like, all these guys they're dressing, a lot of them, they were not, there's not a lot, like even Bergeron was a second rounder. I mean, you look at it and you just see that they find guys who get in there and they believe and they fall in line and they say, look, if your leaders are your hardest workers, then I think you always have a chance for a good culture. And I will tell you this, I remember that when I started in this business, I noticed it if my producers or executive producers were there before me and there after me. Like I always said, like, okay, the guy who's in charge, he's there before I got there, he's there after I'm leaving. And I always took that as a sign of that person who's at the top, they're bringing it, I better bring it too.
Elliot Friedman, our guest. We're going to talk, as every sports radio show did today, about Vladimir Guerrero and did the Jays screw up and what do they owe to their fans. We've seen this in the NBA. Some of it was big-time controversy back in the Spurs days, as we know, and even a guy like Kawhi Leonard, right? Load management. We haven't seen it as much in the National Hockey League, but hey, if the Vancouver Canucks next year sat Elias Pettersson for a bunch of games and said he needs some rest, what is the where do the fans come in? What is the organization's responsibility to the paying seat holders?
Well, I always believe if you do that, you should do it on the road. And I also believe that if you're going to do that, you probably shouldn't do it at a place where, you know, he's only going to be seen once a year. Like, you know, especially in the NHL, you know, this is still a gate-driven league. You know, the gate matters in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And we are selling entertainment. Now, I think we all understand that this does can have sports science is telling us we might need to do this more often. And I think maybe we have to get out in front of it. But you're selling. Like Pettersson, the way he's going, you should never do, like, maybe in game 82, if you fought 81 games to reach the playoffs, maybe, and you got your last game at home before the playoffs, I get that. But, you know, I'll tell you guys a story. It's one of my favorite stories of ever covering an elite athlete. So the third year of the Raptors, they were still playing at Skydome, and they had like 36,000 people there to watch Michael Jordan and the Bulls. And it was just after the trade deadline, and they traded Damon Stoudemire that year. Or it was just after they made that trade, and they were awful. They had a terrible year. Their team was terrible, and it was going to be a blowout. And in the first half, Jordan, I think he got like 3 points. But they were killing them. They were up like 25. Like Joe Klein was murdering the Raptors. Like that's how bad that game was. And my seat, when I used to cover them, was right always next to the visitor's bench. So Jordan comes out for the start of the second half. He does his shooting. And right in front of me, Phil Jackson walks up to Jordan and he says, Michael, take the rest of the night off. You don't need to play. And he looked at Jackson and he said, Coach, or I think he actually said Phil. I don't think he called him Coach. Phil, I haven't given all of these fans their show yet. And he went out in a meaningless game that was a blowout. And I think he scored 19 points in the third quarter. And they were spectacular. And the building was going bananas. And I'll never forget this. He walked off the court at the end of the third quarter and said, okay, Phil, now I'm ready to sit. And I was like, you know what? Good on him. Like, he understood people were paying money to see him. And I thought that was awesome. And so I remember, I watched this thing yesterday. I don't know, did you guys see the quote from the clip from Ross Atkins today?
I've read it. I have not seen it.
Like, I didn't know about, we didn't tell Charlie Montoya about the importance of Victoria Day.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrible. Like, look, I think the fans understand the Jays are going to be bad this year. They're rebuilding. A lot of baseball teams do this now. But come on, like, have some respect for your market. And I just think that is so tone deaf. I think in this day and age, you got to rest guys, but you got to be able to say, we're going to do this in a way that's going to piss off our fans the least. And there has to be a better way to do that.
Completely agree with everything you just said, and it's something we're going to get into on the show a little later on. Patrick Roy wouldn't have heard because he's got his Stanley Cup rings in his ears, so the tone deaf wouldn't have bothered him. He is on that list in Ottawa. Is he a front runner? Where does he fit in that mix, and who is the front runner for the Senators?
You know, I was a bit surprised. You know, I've been asked about Roy quite a bit today, and, you know, I've mentioned it that when he quit in Colorado, he quit in the summer. And he kind of really stuck them. And he didn't tell them he was quitting. He hired a PR firm in Quebec to announce it. And the Avalanche were caught by surprise. And I had several guys say that Patrick Roy will never get another job in the NHL because of that. And I think this is what this is Roy's message is saying. I want back in and I want to be a part of this. I think it's a wild card. I never got the sense going in that he was a favorite or really on the radar. So I think it's difficult to handicap it. I think the favorites, like I always thought going in that Jacques Martin and Crawford and maybe a guy like DJ Smith were probably going to be the favorites. I don't know about that now. I thought Bonus was really interesting because Bonus has been pretty close to getting a couple of jobs lately. So I could see why he would appeal to them. To me, if Roy gets it, it's a total wild card out of nowhere. But what I think is it says to me is that he wants back in. And he's getting this, and he's doing this interview and getting involved because he wants teams to know that he wants back in.
You know, we're fans of Rick Bonus in this market, but there's turning back the clock and then there's that. Wouldn't that be a story?
Well, you know, like when, like the year that Randy Carlyle got the Anaheim job, the finalists were Carlyle, Travis Green, and Bonus. And it was close. And so, like, he's been on the radar in the last few years. And he wants to coach again. I haven't spoken to him, but I've heard he very much wants to get back in.
Elliot Friedman joins us every week from Hockey Night in Canada and 31 Thoughts. Before we let you go, we were talking about weddings. I came from my brother's wedding this weekend. When you get a wedding invitation, are you excited? What's the best part? What's the worst part about weddings?
Well, the best part is I'm not planning on having another one, so I can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Like, a good wedding is a great party.
Yes.
Like, you know, I mean, I remember when we got married, the only thing my wife said was, I just want it to be a good party. And we thought it was a good party, so we were happy with that. So that's the best thing about a wedding. A good wedding is a great party. The worst thing about them, okay, so we got married on right before Labor Day. But we said we're doing it on the Thursday, because we're not ruining everybody's Labor Day weekend. I hate people who ruin long weekends.
It's tone deaf is what I'm hearing today.
Tone deaf.
Yeah.
Tone deaf. If you're going to get married in a long weekend, you do it on the Monday or you do it on the Thursday. Don't do it on the weekend.
I will send a note to my brother that Elliot Friedman did not approve of his day choice.
Well, you know what? I'm stunned that somebody with the last name Walker would ruin everybody else's life.
Oh no, he took her last name. He's hyphenating, so yeah. don't worry about it. Here's Elliot Friedman. By the way, you're
just trying to distance himself from his brother.
The invitations for your wedding must have got lost in the mail. We must have missed them. So I'm glad it was a good party, though.
I thought I saw you serving there.
Yeah.
You guys had your wedding in Montana?
Check it out.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts. We got to run. We'll keep you updated on the Stanley Cup Eastern or Western Conference Final. And, of course, the Toronto Raptors in an hour from now.
We don't have to run before we mention Elliot Friedman is a presentation of Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view's better from here. And that view gets better as the weather this week continues in Vancouver.